The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
Energy prices are still on the rise, but are you being given the right advice about the best deals? Are you facing huge cuts to your pension income thanks to government reforms? We look at what you can do about it. And have you ever had a dispute with your landlord? We test out a new iPhone app that should make tenants happier. All this to come in this week's FT Money Show. I'm Alice Ross, and I'll be giving you the lowdown on all of these money matters in downloadable form with my colleagues from FT Money, Joe Cumbo.
Hello.
Elaine Moore.
Hello.
Tanya Paley.
Hello.
And our special studio guest, Billy Mackey at pension provider AJ Bell.
Hello.
So let's start with the money news. This week, consumer group Which? Found that one third of customers are being given the wrong advice about the cheapest deals from energy companies. It says that many sales staff give information that's confusing or plain wrong, meaning that consumers could be paying hundreds of pounds more a year on their energy bills than they need to. The research comes as the Energy Minister, Chris Huhn, announced an emergency summit next week with suppliers, consumer groups, and the industry regulator Ofgem to see how people can save money on their gas and electricity bills. Elaine, it sounds as if maybe Chris Huhn has his answer already. If we were all being given the right advice on our energy bills, would that solve the issue?
Well, it's come a bit late, hasn't it? So Chris Huhn is saying that he wants to meet up with all of the energy providers and talk to all the consumer groups who have been really banging the drum in the last few months about the state of energy bills in the UK. So if we just put a figure in now, the average bill, the average dual fuel bill for gas and electricity, that's gone up from, on average, £1,170 to £1,345. That's over a really short amount of time. We're just coming into winter. This year, apparently, we're going to have another hard winter. So people are going to be using their heating, turning their lights on, using hot water, and they're going to be paying a lot more for it. Now, this meeting that's coming up from the government, that's happening after all of the hikes in prices have come. So I'm not sure what it is that Chris Huhn thinks he's going to do to the energy providers, but it's going to be probably quite limited.
So if we assume that the government isn't going to do much and we have to take matters into our own hands as usual, what can we do? I mean, this is interesting about consumers being given the wrong information on the best deals. How can you find out what the best deal is, and, you know, how can you know more than the sales staff that you're speaking to?
Absolutely. It's awful, isn't it? You would think if you phone up and you ask them to tell you what the cheapest tariff is, that's not that hard. They should just tell you. And one third of them, they're not saying what it is. Empower, we should say, did do very well in this survey, and they were giving the right advice a lot of the time. But many of the other largest six energy providers, they weren't telling people what they should be doing. So ways that you can go about finding this stuff out for yourself, I suppose you just got to look at the price comparison charts. There are a huge amount of difference between the bills that you'll pay on the average and the bills that you'll pay if you pay online, if you use direct debit, and if you go for the provider that's offering the best deal. One company not offering the best deal right now, and something that we're looking at in FT Money this week, is E.ON.
Yes, you've written a deal of the week on that, haven't you? And from reading it earlier this week, it sounds like it wasn't the best deal out there.
So this is the E.ON Fit Plan, and it's going to be advertised across the UK. You may well see it on the TV or hear it on the radio. And the idea is that you take control of your own energy use. So you will be given ideas for ways that you can cut down your energy in your household. And you'll also be given a discount. So 2 of the months you will be given absolutely for free if you sign up to a 2-year tariff. But here's the massive catch. On average, you would get an 8.33% discount on the average bill. But what you don't get is the normal 8% discount that you would get if you just paid for a tariff using direct debit. So you're getting very little extra for this plan.
It's just the difference of 0.33% then.
They're making a big song and dance about that 0.33%. So it's very odd. At the moment, the plan that's coming out the best is Scottish Power's online energy saver. So the average that costs is £1,045 every year. That's about the best that you're going to get at the moment.
And just quickly, Elaine, how easy is it actually to switch energy suppliers if you are out there looking for the best deal?
Well, of course, there's exit fees. So, and that's another thing that apparently Which said that the energy providers were not telling anybody about. You might be charged up to £50 if you've not come to the end of your deal, but you want to move across. So you've got to bear that in mind when you're making your calculations. But apart from that, it should be easy. You can do it online. You can go to Money Supermarket, these sorts of places, and you can switch.
So do check all of these deals and try to cut money off your bill, even if the government won't give you any help. Thank you, Elaine. And for more on how to cut your energy bills and Elaine's review of E.ON Energy's Fit Plan, look out for Elaine's article in this weekend's FT Money with the Weekend FT and online at ft.com/money. Still to come on the show, using an iPhone app to take pictures of damage in your rental property. First, though, pensions. This week, the government came under pressure to do something to help pension investors, who are facing dramatic cuts in their income of up to 50%, thanks to recent reforms, plunging stock markets and low gilt yields. Calls for urgent action are now coming from a growing band of investors, financial advisers and pension providers who accuse the government of madness for sticking to its changes in the current economic climate. The reforms came into effect in April and saw income limits for investors aged below 75 who choose to keep their savings invested in the stock market, known as capped drawdown, rather than buy an annuity, fall from 120% to 100% of an equivalent annuity. Now, there are suggestions that these rules be abandoned, but Jo, is the government listening to consumers on this one?
No, it isn't listening, and there are continuing campaigns for the rules to be revised. And when these reforms were introduced in April this year, it followed a period of extensive public consultation, and the government said, well, it sounded all very sensible. We needed to change the limits because at the same time, we're going to allow investors to stay in drawdown for the rest of their lives. Hence, we need to just limit the risk of them running out of their funds. But Billy Mackay of AJ Bell, the pension provider, is here with me today to discuss some of the difficulties that your clients are facing, particularly with this income cuts.
Yeah, the challenge is the combination of the number of factors that have come together at the single time that has driven income levels down, or the maximum income figure down. It's the fact that we have an environment at the moment where we've got record low gilt yields in the UK, alongside very volatile market conditions, and that alongside the changes that the government have implemented that you talked about before have all driven this maximum income down that people can actually take out of this thing called capped drawdown.
So what are you seeing? What kind of cuts are you seeing to income?
It varies. It varies from client to client, and also the actual time that they, because gilt yields have moved around so much over the last year and continue to be fairly volatile, the actual amount can vary, but we are seeing clients that vary from 25 to 40, and as Alice said, almost 50% reduction in income is not uncommon.
Right, so, and what are these people doing if they're facing such big drops? Are they looking to get other savings or use cash? Or
it's a combination of things. For clients that have other savings, then one of the things that they are looking at, I guess the challenge is whether they require, the key challenge for anyone in this situation is whether you require continuation of that maximum income figure. If that is the case, then for many clients, they're having to look at using other underlying investments. For some clients that are not fortunate enough to fall back in other investments, then they're having to look at other things, and those other things involve doing things like revising perhaps your income strategy and waiting out for a return to perhaps more positive market conditions.
You think the government could be taking steps at this point in time to ease the plight facing hundreds of thousands of investors who are coming out?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the part of the challenge here is that we had a number of changes back in April, and the single biggest change was a move where we had a 20% uplift that applied in the calculation method. At the same time, we saw new income factors applied that were reduced in terms of the amount of income that it produces out of this thing called drawdown. But the 20% factor is the single biggest factor, and we would like, as an interim measure, the government to reverse that decision.
The government says, well, that's not sensible. I mean, we need to stick to our rules because there is a continuing risk that people will run down their funds.
Yeah, it's an interesting challenge. I've been involved in pensions for many years. Drawdown has been in the UK since 1995. And I think anyone that's been operating in this space would say that there's very limited evidence of actually suggesting that that's a real risk. You know, certainly looking at our book, there's very limited evidence to suggest that clients are reducing their underlying funds to the extent that you would be worrying about depleting the overall fund. But we've also got to remember that you have a three-year review process locked into this thing called cap drawdown. That means every 3 years you have to carry out a review, and that's there to protect against depletion of the pension fund.
So is it just you at the moment arguing for change, or do you have some support, or is there growing support for review of the policy?
No, I think that it's one of these areas that you're seeing growing support. We carried out some research recently, and that research, we asked a number of advisors and clients for views on this subject. We put to them a number of possible solutions. Within the first week alone, we had over 500 responses, and the responses overwhelmingly backed our sort of call for change. Less than 3% of the people that responded in the survey actually agreed with the government and that they should hold the current rules as they are. So I think there's growing support, both in terms of advisors, clients and the industry.
So how far are you prepared to go to get the government to listen to you?
It's an interesting one. Our strategy from where we sit at the moment, we've written directly to the government. We did an open letter to the government at this point. We passed that letter to clients and advisors. In terms of moving that on, we're going to continue to look for opportunities to raise the profile of the challenges that clients face with this situation. And beyond that, it's a case of continuing to keep pushing and pushing the challenges. Clients in these situations are facing significant reductions in income in the toughest of possible economic conditions, and we'll just continue to raise the profile of that.
Thanks for your time today, Billy.
No problem.
Yes, thanks, Joe and Billy. Hopefully with more awareness of this issue, the government might start listening to people. And for full details of what you can do to improve your pension income, read Joe's article in the FT Money section this weekend and on our website, ft.com/money. Finally today, iPhone apps for landlords and tenants. The cost of renting a home is now at its highest level on record, hitting an average £713 a month across England and Wales, and as much as £1,025 a month in London. New research this week found that average private rents are unaffordable in over half of local authorities in England. High rents are not the only problem tenants face. When coming to the end of their tenancy contract, many renters find that some of their deposit is held back due to disputes over damage to the property or its contents. However, a new smartphone application called Imfuna Let could help tenants out. Tanya, what does this app do exactly?
It's basically kind of designed for both landlords and tenants, whoever decides they want to use it. But it's for the start of the tenancy. So as a kind of, when you first get into the property, you can take your app and start taking pictures of, say, cracks in the wall or damages being to a table or furniture that you're actually now renting. So it's kind of a way of having this proof of evidence of the state of your property when you first move in. And it's quite easy to use. It's like one of these things where you just sort of use your camera within your phone, and as soon as you take pictures, you kind of upload it up to this online server, and it records the date and time that picture was taken, so there can't be any dispute about the fact, you know, when was that photo taken? Was it taken after the actual proper damage was done to the picture? So it's just a way of kind of having that extra evidence when it comes to leaving your private rental home, and in case, you know, the landlord decides that they want to sort of say to you, you've damaged this, and you believe that actually that damage was done prior to you moving in.
Actually, an interesting question I had about the iPhone app when I mentioned it to someone was, could you Photoshop it? Would that be possible?
Apparently not. I've been assured by the company that has created this app that because you're taking a picture via your smartphone, the date and the time of when that picture was taken is actually embedded within that data. So it would take some kind of amazing hacker to actually change that and to kind of dot to the image.
It sounds like good news for tenants, but is it good news for landlords as well? Will they want to participate in this, do you think?
I think so. A lot of landlords, they do provide a kind of inventory list at the beginning of a tenancy, but there's no requirement to actually use a kind of third-party independent organisation. Some do, some don't, some do it themselves, and some don't actually use photographs. So it works for their benefit as well if they believe, you know, that damage has been done, and they can argue it in their favour as well. So it's kind of almost bringing a kind of bit more of a democratic addition to the process for both sides, really.
And what about rents themselves? I mean, obviously this could go some way towards helping you reclaim your deposit back, but is that really going to help in you know, consideration of the overall rental market where, you know, as I said earlier, rents are at an all-time high.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there seems to be growing concerns within the market now that actually rents are becoming increasingly unaffordable. Obviously, we're seeing more people having to rent because they can't get a mortgage. There's less sort of high loan-to-value products out there. First-time buyers are struggling even more. And now we're hearing even working families are struggling because rents become so unaffordable. So it's really kind of a hard situation to be in because until, like, you know, we start to see maybe the mortgage lenders start to lend more, we're going to still have this massive demand for private rental homes. And I can't really see rents, you know, stopping the soaring levels that we've seen recently until that starts to happen.
But in the meantime, hopefully you can try and save some money by using apps like this. This is the only one of its kind on the market, I think.
From what I'm aware of, yes. Yeah, it seems to be, it's only been launched in the last sort of, you know, 6 months or so. And it's kind of, I think it's still kind of, you know, gradually trying to like get more downloads and see more people use it.
Is it free to use or would your landlord pay?
No, you actually have to. It requires there's two versions. There's a Let's Light version, which is probably more preferable for consumers and tenants. That costs about 99p to download from the iTunes stores. The full version is £1.99. And we should also state that part of the app has a kind of report that you can actually create. So this is obviously the online server. You kind of upload your photos and you write your detailed information about what damage has been done. And if you want to obviously dispute something, you can obviously print out this report, which costs an additional fee as well.
Sounds like it could be a deal to pay £1.99 and potentially save hundreds of pounds on your deposit. Thanks very much for that, Tanya. And if you would like to know more about the latest app for tenants, look out for Tanya's article in FT Money this weekend. But that's all for this week's FT Money show. Remember, you can get weekday news updates on our website, ft.com/money. And you can read and comment on our latest blog posts at ft.com/moneymatters. We'll be back next week with another financial lowdown in downloadable form. But until then, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Joe, Elaine, Tanya and our special guest, Billy Mackay at AJ Bell.
Bye. Bye.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost £27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.